Welcome to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos, same fantastic show, brand new network. We have some familiar faces joining us again tonight. Let's stop in the top corner, start in the top corner with Sarah at the Nerd Emporium. Sarah, how are you this evening?
I am doing fantastic. I'm so excited to talk about Moon Knight with you guys.
Sarah, those of us that cannot see your shirt, can you please read it out loud for the group?
Yes, I am not single. I'm saving myself for Thor.
I think I might even be saving myself for Thor. Mark from Diz Life Podcast, Babu's freaking podcast, part of the Nerd Life Network. Mark Valentine, how are you this evening?
Cheers to you. Raise a glass. I could do a Thor and throw this down and say another, but I won't because I really like this mug. Congratulations, weirdos. Congratulations, Nerd Life Network. I'm ready to get weird. I'm so excited for the launch. Bro, congratulations on the new project, man. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much. We are very, very excited. Jalen is here, one of the nerdy girls after dark. Maya, what are the nerdy girls after dark?
Yes, yeah, so Nerdy Girls After Dark is a part of the Nerd Life Network. We're going to be going live, first episode this Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Eastern time. And I'm just really excited. Sarah has a great show set for us and a lot of fun topics we're going to be talking about. So
Ryan is in the comments as well. Ryan from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is our Wednesdays as well. Mark Spector down in the corner. He's very, very confused. Give Mark the body. Everybody did get the color memo. I've got full-blown Moon Knight on. Sarah's got the gray, saving herself for Thor. Mark is looking like a golf ball ready to get teed off.
It's an Epcot.
Maya, Epcot from Walrus Carp Clothing Company, correct?
That is correct. WalrusCarp.com. The Epcot is, it's not, it doesn't just look great. It feels great. It's a full vibe.
Maya, when it comes to Moon Knight fashion, you've got all of us beat.
So this is my Halloween costume from last year. This is before I knew what the MCU version of Moon Knight looked like. So it was very comics inspired, the black cape. But I actually, shameless, not so shameless plug, this top that I have on, it's a custom mesh shop, top from one of our designers on Mive, Mive.fashion. You can do custom mesh top. One of the designers based in Spain made this for me for Halloween. So if anyone wants one,
nice.
Check it out.
Very nice.
Full-blown Mr. Knight fashion vibes, and I can't wait to meet Mr. Knight. We might even meet him next week. He's on the Disney Plus main page now. All right. Well, we will get into it because he was sent to bed once. So we're going to get him back to bed. It is the world according to Jax. Jackson, how are you?
Good.
You got to speak up a little bit because your voice is kind of gone. Yeah. What did you think of Moon Knight?
I liked the first episode.
Yeah. What did you like about it? Who's your favorite character? What's that?
Moon Knight
or Mark Spector or Stephen Grant, Stephen with a V?
All of them.
All right, fair enough. What about, did you find it scary at all?
No, not very scary? No.
You think you'll watch the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing, do you prefer one fin Gus or two fin Gus? The fish.
Nemo Gus.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome, Dad.
All right. Yeah, he's had no voice for like 2 weeks. So poor kid. He's eventually going to get it back. But this new microphone does not like him not having a voice. All right. So let's catch up with the comments here. We've got Allison is here. Katie is here. Anthony is here. Allison says she's also wearing a gray shirt. Justin's here. Again, Anthony still here. Wishing Jax a very happy, happy birthday. We might have to do that. Jax hits the double digits on Saturday.
So that is cool. Oh, that's Ryan awesome.
Says Nemo Gus is officially his new name. So that worked out really well. Grant is a good name. Justin has a little one named Grant, I believe.
Aww.
Not true. That's his last name. So anyways, let's get on with the show. First and foremost, Mark, we're going to jump into the Disney parks for just a minute.
Yes, sir. Because
we have a spotting of the man of the hour himself. Moon Knight has been spotted in Avengers Campus at Disneyland, or excuse me, at Disney's California Adventure in Disneyland. Mark, you're going to Disneyland in 6 weeks. How cool is it that Moon Knight lives and breathes within a Disney park?
Yeah, I love this about Disneyland. I mean, they're unencumbered by any contractual agreements like we are over here on the East Coast. And they just get some really cool stuff over in Avengers Campus. It was great to see during Loki. They got the variants that they had full-blown like Loki meet and greets. So to see a character like Moon Knight, the day of the drop, be high atop Avengers Campus, I'm so psyched, man. I cannot wait. Please just put me on a plane. Get me out there to California because I'm here for Moon Knight.
That that partnership with Avengers Campus is a big reason why Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel is a sponsor here on Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. If you want to live your best Marvel adventure, reach out to Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel to be able to book that trip. Last piece of business before we get into talking about Moon Knight. Most people don't know this, and I hesitate to share this information because I like when people don't know this. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness dropped another trailer, small trailer this past weekend. Tickets will be on sale this coming Wednesday. So you can get tickets on sale April 6th for a release of technically Thursday night, May 5th, for the Friday release of May 6th. So if you did not know, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness tickets will be on sale this Wednesday. All right, so let's get into it. Talking Moon Knight. Maya, you had as high as expectations for this show as I did coming in. You were not expecting a lot out of Loki, and Loki became your favorite Disney Plus series. Is Moon Knight at least off to a start to potentially jump Loki in your favorite ranking?
Absolutely. That first episode was by far, it's hard to say it, so like new right now, but like that first episode definitely beat out all the other series in terms of just first episode for me. So I really like it. I think it's off to a great start.
Sarah, how about you? You weren't sure what to expect with Moon Knight. You even watched it once and you still weren't sure how you felt about it. After many, many rewatches, where do you stand on episode one of Moon Knight?
I have watched it now 7 times. The 7th time was today. Just because I feel there was quite a bit going on character-wise, so I wanted to be sure that I wasn't missing anything. I think I am all in. I'm excited to see where it goes from here. I'm really excited, actually, it's going to be good.
And Mark, before we get to your opinion on where you stand with Moon Knight, we are doing 2 comic book giveaways this evening. Let's do the first one right now. Ooh, let us know in the comments where the premiere of Moon Knight ranks for you among the 6 Disney Plus series that we have gotten so far. We had WandaVision, we had The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we had Loki, What If, Hawkeye, and now Moon Knight. Rank it 1 out of 6 of just the premiere episodes. Which one has been your favorite? Spam the comments as many times as possible, and then we'll be able to pick somebody to give that comic book to. Let's do Ghost Rider first, Sarah. We'll do the Ghost Rider comic book first. And which Ghost Rider is that? I'm sorry.
This is Ghost Rider number 1. This is the Lucio Perillo Big Time Collectibles exclusive. It's the trade dress variant. This was being given away on our social media. My handle is right there. Right there. The Nerd Emporium. Mm-hmm. And then at Nerd Life Network also. But the liker, sharer, follower that was chosen at random is Rocket Punch Comics. So we will be reaching out to Rocket Punch Comics. I believe that's a father-daughter comic store, which is really cute. But we'll be reaching out to those guys to let them know they won.
They won the Ghost Rider one already.
Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Good deal. All right. I misunderstood how we were going to conduct the giveaway, but that is just fine. So congratulations to them. Yeah. Mark Valentine, what are you and I talked the day before Moon Knight came out, and you had read a couple of reviews, people saying that Marvel was off their rocker And I said I didn't believe it at the time, but now I really, really don't believe it.
Now I really don't believe it. I said, and I was preparing breakfast. Then I was like, man, I don't know what I was like. I'm a little nervous and I'm a little apprehensive because I've read three articles now that said that the MCU Marvel has started to miss the mark with this show. And I was like, that's very strange to me that it just it. I mean, we haven't had a single thing that I mean, that I've said isn't a great show. And I called you and I was like, dude, I'm a little nervous about this. And my apprehension came from, again, the only experience that I've ever had with Moon Knight is him as a playable character in Marvel video games. And he was always one of my favorite because I just thought he looked really cool. I always loved the arsenal and I just kind of loved the way that he looked in these video games, but I knew nothing about him. And I said, because I don't know anything about this character, I'm just really worried that it's not going to wind up good. And a lot of that too, Brian, I'm going to say some of this apprehension came from the fact that Oscar Isaac plays one of the most iconic villains in the X-Men universe, and it was not good. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Apocalypse is one of the worst. So I was like, oh no, is my boy Oscar going to be 0-for-2 in comic books? And so I told you I was a little bit nervous. And then after we watched the premiere, I was like, whoever's writing that is, they're crazy.
Coming off of this weekend, looping back to our MCU 101 discussion with listener Beth, who is well into phase 3 now. She is absolutely loving the MCU.
Yeah.
Being 0-for-2 when it comes to comic book movies. Beth, you don't need to worry about Jared Leto and Morbius. Like, just leave it on its own. You do not have to worry about it one bit, even less than the trailers. I haven't seen it. I have talked to many people that have. Maya, if you could pick a number between 1 and 46, please, we will pick our winner. I feel like I duped the audience a little bit, so we are going to pick our winner for the She-Hulk comic right now. That cover is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. So we are going to give away the She-Hulk comic now. So Maya, 1 through 46, please.
I'm going with 28.
All right. While we talk about that, Sarah, I'm going to throw this question to you. Do you think it would hurt more to put glass in your shoes or Legos in your shoes? And what was Arthur Harrow doing in this opening scene?
I have stepped on my fair share of Legos and glass. I got it, man.
Is this even a question?
I feel like glass just because of the lasting effects, but Legos suck to step on. And I feel like it was just some sort of like weird cult leader self-flagellation type. I mean, just super uncomfortable. Sets the tone right off the bat. It feels icky.
My wife was extremely uncomfortable at 7:30 in the morning. Like, my wife is very used to being uncomfortable in our own home because she's married to me. But regardless, watching that on the television, she did not like that at all. Congratulations to Allison Crouch, who is the winner of our She-Hulk comic book. Sarah, can you give some specifics about that She-Hulk comic book courtesy of Third Emporium?
Yes, this is She-Hulk number 2. It just came out, I think, in February. It's David Nakayama is the artist. It's also a comics exclusive from 616 Comics, and it is the virgin variant, which means that there's no Marvel label, there's no comic book logo or anything. It's just clean. It's just the art, and these are more valuable. So, and it's just a great book. It's a great run, also. So, congrats, Allison.
Allison, I'll reach out to you after the show. We'll make sure we get that over to you, but congratulations. Alex from Comics and Cinema, his debut episode on the Nerd Life Network will be tomorrow night at 8:00 Eastern. We're very excited for that. David says that the scene reminded him of Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
And whipped himself. That's very, very similar. Mark, did you get any vibes understanding what Ethan Hawke's character was doing in this scene?
No, it was just very creepy. I had no idea what was happening in the first scene. And like, you know, you said your wife was like very upset and bothered by it. Linda and I were squirming in our seats. Just, it was very unsettling. And I've stepped on Legos. And I can tell you that, I mean, while painful, at least they don't break the skin. I don't want to be walking on. I mean, it's like
on a Lego hard enough then.
Yeah. But I will say on the second walkthrough, I knew it was coming. And then I started to really poke fun at it. And I was doing my best Annie Lennox being like, walking on broken glass. So
okay, Mark, I didn't know you could sing. Nice.
Mark can sing. That is absolutely true. Maya, were you as uncomfortable as everybody else with this opening scene?
Well, yeah, it looked very painful, but I was just looking at those. I was so tempted to yell, what are those, to those shoes? Those are the definitely, if Shuri was in that scene, she'd be so disappointed at those elder slides. But it reminded me of the scene in Holes. I told a few people this when Homeboy was putting his toe up to the snake, just in terms of feeling discomfort and like inflicting pain on yourself.
One of my favorite things about you, Maya, is there's always a reference to Holes waiting to be made. And
always.
Always. That's awesome. Well, it definitely sets him up to be as creepy as possible. Disney Plus has not done a lot of introducing you to the villain, even in the first episode, let alone in the very first scene.
Yeah.
Very cult leader, very creepy, creepy stuff. And it gets even weirder later on when we meet him. But we'll talk about more about Arthur Harrow in a minute. But then it jumps to the Marvel screen title, and it jumps right off the screen. The soundtrack to this entire show so far, the score and the music that has been a part of it, is fantastic. The way they work it all in, and it's just so good. Mark, did you have something there?
No, just chef's kiss.
Yeah, it's awesome the way they bounce in and out of it. We meet Stephen Grant. I thought first the sand around his bed was something that was kind of keeping things away, that it was some sort of circle or something like that. It's simply so he knows if there's a footprint in the sand that he got out of bed. Clearly now we've learned that Mark Spector knows how to put the tape exactly correctly on the door and to fill in the sand and everything else, because Mark is clearly going in and out of that bed, even though Steven doesn't realize it. So we're going to talk a lot more about that, but we meet the Nemo Gus, the one finned goldfish, and then he's talking to his mother on the phone. He can't seem to ever get his mother on the other end of the phone. Sarah, what do you think is going on here?
I don't think anyone is on the other end of the phone. I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but I think it's him keeping that part of his identity present and alive right there. I'm going to be interested to see how that shakes out.
Mark, it seems like you share the same.
100%. I said the same thing, that's just a tick. That's a tick that Steven has, that the reason he can never get someone on the other end is because that's not, he's calling someone, but not who he thinks. And that's just a convention that he has in that personality.
So you think he is calling someone? You think the phone is ringing and going to a voicemail of some sort?
I do. And I think it's like, haven't we all gotten that call from a party before, that after a while you just give up on answering the phone? You don't even say at that point, like, please stop calling. You just hope that they're eventually going to exhaust themselves and stop leaving you voicemails. Or I've had several people that have called me and they're like, yeah, is John there? I'm like, dude, this is not John's phone. And that's quite literally what I think happened. It's like a real world application of that. He's called that person so many times. They're like, it's this crazy guy that calls me and thinks I'm his mom. I'm just going to let it go to voicemail and delete it after the fact. It's not even worth the aggravation anymore.
So it's we're being thrown into, and it is already jumped from the comic books, because in the comic books, Mark Spector is the mercenary, which we are still sticking with here. But Stephen Grant is the millionaire playboy, Tony Stark style guy. And then Jake, I don't remember Jake's last name. Jake's the third personality and he's a taxi cab driver. So Stephen Grant doesn't have a lot of money. Stephen Grant is a gift shoppist, which I love that term. I'm going to refer to every Disney cast member from here on out just as a gift shoppist. It's a term of endearment, don't worry. But it's been interesting, the divergent path that they took with the comic books. Sarah, or I'm sorry, Maya, who do you think is the main, who was this human being born as? Do you think Mark Spector is the dominant personality, or do you think Mark Spector took over somebody like Stephen Grant? Have you given that much thought?
I haven't. I'm curious to know, like, we don't even get enough data points on his history. Like, did he just start that job? Because clearly Mark Spector has to be acting like him if he's going to his job. He asked someone on a date without him knowing. So he's clearly putting himself
to a steakhouse, no less.
Right. So he's clear. Mark Spector is clearly kind of taking on Stephen Grant's life to some degree. All his coworkers know him as Stephen. So except for the other guy who keeps messing up his name. So I was really curious about that, but I had something around the phone calls too.
Yes.
In the first phone call he got, he was like, thanks for sending me these postcards. So I'm like, who is sending him these postcards? So it's somebody. I don't know necessarily if it's the same person or not, but then after the date scene, it actually sounded like he was having a conversation with someone. The first one felt like a very obvious voicemail, but the second time I watched it, it almost felt like he actually was keeping up a conversation, unless he's just talking and no one's on the other line. So it's very much a mystery, and I'm really curious.
I think it is still a voicemail on the first one, though, too, because he says, I missed you. I'll catch you later. After he's clearly bottling things up, too. That's a big part of this, where he goes out the front of his store, and he's, oh, you're selling brooms again right in front of my thing, and he's very upset about it. And then he's, oh, not a problem, though. He's clearly bottling it up, which is only adding to this dissociative identity disorder that he's got.
You're saying the second phone call, you think that's a voicemail, too?
I think they're all voicemails. I don't think there's been a single phone call. I think every single one of them has been a voicemail. He even tells his mom that he's going to introduce her to the girl as he throws the flowers in the trash.
Yeah.
That one's definitely a voicemail. When he's talking to that posing statue guy, and he says, like, ankle strains are the definition of a red flag, like, that really cracked me up. But so he's, like, having conversations with people, but nobody's talking back to him. To Sarah's point, to Mark's point, people just kind of stopped answering. Like, they're just going to kind of be there, let him finish, do his thing, and move on from there. But his mom, I assumed that the phone was ringing to nothing. I think Mark may be onto something, that it literally is ringing to somebody, and he just doesn't know who it is.
I think it is deceptively conversational, though, to Maya's point. I think they do want people to think he is talking, or at least leaving a voicemail.
So that makes me wonder.
Was he leaving a voicemail to himself?
Or I'm wondering, is Mark Spector the one sending him postcards? Because he's clearly traveling all over the world.
Mark is Mark's already going out and replacing fish and all kinds of stuff that Mark is doing when he's got control of the bodies for 2 days. So we'll talk more about that.
And I wonder if he's also telling that museum worker that his name, when it's Mark posing as Steven, if he's telling him that it's Stevie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the security guard keeps calling him something different. Side note, did anybody else think the first time you saw the JB, the security guard, I genuinely thought it was a cameo from Dax Shepard? Looked exactly like Dax Shepard. Like,
it does look like
it. It threw me off. It threw me off hardcore. But we find out that he is getting out of bed in the middle of the night. We wake up to a bloody, bloody mouth that Stephen Grant had in the middle of the Swiss Alps, and he resets his jawline, and it is just nasty. And then we hear the voice of nobody other than F. Murray Abraham, who is very famous in a lot of films. Honestly, what I know him best from is as the author of C.W. Longbottom from the show Mythic Quest on Apple TV+. He is hilarious. The fact that Khonshu has some sort of sense of humor. Sarah, who is Khonshu? Can you please explain this to those of us that don't know?
Khonshu is the Egyptian god of the moon and the Egyptian god of vengeance. He rescued Mark used to be a mercenary, and Mark was killed on a mission, and Khonshu resurrected him and uses him as sort of a vessel to wreak vengeance on the criminals of the world.
So when Mark Spector becomes Moon Knight, is he Mark Spector or is he Khonshu? Or is that he's kind of both and that's just kind of how it is?
It's I would say it is a separate consciousness. Yeah.
So when Mark says, let me save us, he knows what's about to happen and it's not necessarily Mark either.
I think so. Yeah.
Because Khonshu looks super, super scary. Like, he's not somebody that we want hanging around us. But in theory, he's the hero of this series, at least one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the voice that you hear who says things such as, sorry, I had it and I'm not there anymore.
Did he just throw the gun?
That's Khonshu. That is the voice talking to Mark Spector, and he's calling Stephen Grant the idiot, that the idiot's in charge. We'll talk a lot more about that. But Stephen wakes up in the middle of the Swiss Alps. He looks behind him. There's a castle. There's a man hanging out of the castle. And all he can do is wave to the gunman. And I thought that all of that was absolutely hilarious. And he runs into town. And Mark, I'm going to go to you on this. He gets into town. We meet the cult leader in this Sound of Music perfect place in the middle of the Swiss Alps. And we meet Arthur Harrow, who is Ethan Hawke's character. And he's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, Ethan Hawke. Can we talk about Ethan Hawke for a second? I mean, I know his choice in footwear is a tad questionable.
But I mean, knows?
Great villains make a show just as much as a great hero does. And I mean, right out of the gate, he is nailing this character. And I'm intrigued. Unlike the two women here, I have no familiarity with Moon Knight, none whatsoever.
I don't either. I just like the aesthetic.
this show is going to peel back, and the layers of this show are going to peel back. And I'm also loving that, because generally speaking, I ruin television for myself. Like everyone who watched Game of Thrones and was shocked and appalled by the surprises of the show, I was just like, yeah. I knew that happened.
Did you IMDb stock or did you read the books?
No, I read the books. And so everyone else that was going crazy and insane, I do this to myself regularly where I will ruin whatever it is. I don't know anything about Moon Knight. So this character is so intriguing to me. The story arc, the plot. I didn't even know until the women started talking about the other identities. I didn't even know. My mind was blown. I'm like, wow, we're going to be getting even more from various personalities. But I mean, Ethan Hawke killed the introduction to this character. I mean,
well, and he literally killed the old woman who did. Like she goes, I've been good my whole life. And he goes, yeah, well, you're gonna do something. It's very Minority Report like level stuff.
Yeah.
Maya, how about you?
I have a question for Sarah. So is Khonshu one of the nine gods that he was talking about in the beginning of the series?
The Ennead.
That's a good question. I know there's a lot. There's a lot of Egyptian gods. I don't know if it's one of the nine. That's a good question.
They're talking about, was it Ahmed? And it's like
Ahmed, yep.
Because they're talking about the avatars, and he was like, later Arthur was saying, you know, you're the avatar of whatever.
Great
so
movie.
Clearly Arthur is the avatar of Ahmed. That's what I'm gathering. But I just Ethan Hawke did a great job. Like he sends chills down my spine. I'm like so terrified of him. And even just the way he walks is giving like not Mike Myers, but you know how Mike Myers is just walking, he's not running, he's not chasing, he's not doing anything crazy, but you still feel that scary presence. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel with him, and I just think he's really great. But that scene was very creepy with the old woman.
If I had to put kind of a description as to what this show is after one episode, because I obviously don't know, but if I had to put it, it's the confrontation between Khonshu and Ahmet. It's not the confrontation between Mark Spector and Stephen Grant and Arthur Harrow, even though, like you said, Maya, they're avatars. I love the blue people. I love the movies and I love the anime, but it's Khonshu versus Ahmet at this point, which is going to be very interesting to watch it play out. What is this scarab? We don't know. Sarah, we are introduced to this scarab. It looks straight out of The Mummy. I think that made Alex probably very, very happy. But Oscar Isaac is legitimately perfect in the way he acts this scene. He looks like he genuinely wants to give it over. And the way he acts like that and his body can't give it over is just too good to be true, in my opinion.
It's hilarious. It is such good, like slapstick, just ridiculous. It really looks like he is not in control of his body. It's brilliant.
When he marches, like he's like got his back and he like marches away, and like, oh man, it's just so funny.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you, Brian, that he's giving Doofus Rick. I'm like, it's like, talk about a range king, like from Mark Spector to Stephen Grant, and just like how he's like like basically just falling asleep and waking back up, and he's doing an amazing job. I have so much respect for him.
So I hope we see, and I do, I think we will. I think we're going to see this scene from the vantage point of Mark Spector and how it looks when he took the body over, and how he got his way out of each of these situations, especially the ones in the car where Steven uses a cupcake as like the biggest weapon he's got in his hand, and he just smashes the cupcake on the guy's head, and then he wakes up, and then everybody thought it was like a Victor Von Doom reference on the cupcake boxes. Yes. Ended up not being Victor Von Doom whatsoever. But I wish the Swift Alps were Latveria, but we'll worry about that later on. But Mark, what did you make of Steven's blackouts? Like the way that it was part of the storytelling and it kept the mystery was a lot of fun for me.
Well, listen, I'm all in for a return of the conspiracy theories and the TikTok conspiracy theories. I'm breaking out the TikTok microphone for the return of Marvel.
I didn't know what you were doing.
For Marvel speculation. I'm sure that we're about T-minus 2 weeks away from Mephisto coming into the discussion. But when you said the Doctor Doom theories, I got triggered again. Everybody relax. Just enjoy. Listen, it just started. Just enjoy. Enjoy it for what it is. Enjoy the performances that you're getting on screen right now. Enjoy the camera work that you're getting. I mean, this, I'm going to go out there and say this. The way that this was shot and acted and put together artistically, this is probably my favorite single episode of anything that the MCU has done in their new television. The way that it was shot. I told Brian, and I said this to you that morning, I felt like this was a film that just got turned off, that the quality of Moon Knight was cinematic from start to finish. Mm-hmm. In the level of performances that we got from the actors to the cinematography and the locations to the practical effects, it felt like I was watching a Moon Knight movie, not a television show that was based in the MCU. This really blew my mind artistically. I mean, I'm a Star Wars wonk, dude, so you know how much I love Poe Dameron and Oscar Isaac. I'm the only one of the only guys in our friends group who actually waxes poetic about Dune. I love Dune. And I love Oscar Isaac in Dune. And it was so great to see him chew up the scenery as Steven and Mark. Hot take, Bri. I think this is number one. You know that like Loki and WandaVision are really like on any day tied. If this continues the momentum that it started with this first episode, this is the best thing that Marvel's done so far. And it's going to be a return to, again, TikTok conspiracies, because it's got a lot of meat on the bone. It's very interesting.
As far as premieres go, I would completely agree. It still has a lot of work to be able to finish as strong as it started. It's going to be really hard to keep this momentum like the entire time.
You think so?
It was just so good. Like, how do you do that six times? Like, we'll find out, but I think it's going to get just weirder and
with multiple characters and different story arcs and different perspectives. That's how I think this was a Steven episode. We might be getting alter ego episodes and seeing it from different vantage points. Like, that's how you keep it fresh. That's how you keep it interesting.
Well, and that's how you get somebody like Oscar Isaac to really shine, is he gets to literally play three different people. Mm-hmm. Alex is on your side. Oscar is in Dune is an amazing performance. Maya, I know you really like Dune as well, right?
I did. I loved it. And I loved Oscar Isaac. So I just feel like
he's everything. He's a handsome devil, if nothing else, but man, he's just so much fun. And they're not going to introduce Mephisto in something that is so centered around Egyptian.
I was kidding.
I know you were, but people, I'm just going to put that out there that we are going to stick. Moon Knight's going to stick in its own little world right now. It may connect to Eternals. It may connect to somewhere else in the MCU. But right now, it's telling just a six-episode miniseries story.
Right. I just want to, I mean, again, I know it's disconnected. I just want to throw this out there. But did anyone else get WandaVision vibes and Agatha Harkness vibes when he started to deplete her life force and her hands turned grayish and black? I don't know why, but I really, I don't think there's connective tissue there, but I caught a vibe, as the kids are saying.
Well, the connective tissue is the word chaos. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I thought the same thing. I'm so glad I'm not the one that said it, because I was wondering if I was putting my tinfoil hat on. But yes, and his tattoo turns red, which is the color of chaos that they're making us associate with that word. So,
but let's talk about that now. Like, when he says there's chaos in you, when he's looking at the scales, we don't see what the scales look like on Arthur's arm. When, and I don't think they went red when he held Arthur's.
Yeah,
when he held Stephen's hands. I think when it goes red, I don't know if red means chaos in that circumstance. Red just means you're out. But okay. I don't know what do you think that the scales showed when he, do you think, Sarah, it sounds like you think they showed red?
I mean, he was a mercenary.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can turn it around, but if Amit is judging people based on their past, present, and future, then I don't know. Ah, hi, Kira. Yeah. I mean, how do you atone for killing a bunch of people?
is it literally going red and green? Is it like flashing like a street light? Like, I mean, Steven's green and Mark is red. Like, I wonder.
That's how I took it, is that it cannot be red because he's all over the place. I mean,
yeah,
it depends on what personality you're talking about. Like, I think Mark would certainly be red.
Yeah.
But I do think that Steven probably is a good man, and it seems, at least from the glimpse that we get into his life, that he's leading a pure life and a good one. And
he calls his mom.
Yeah. Calls his mom.
And he's got a fish, whether it has two fins or one.
What the fish?
What the fish? So we've got Maya dropped out for just a second. We'll get Maya back in here in just a minute. But we've got, he's going through his house and he finds this Motorola Razor, taking me back to high school. And all the calls in there are from Layla. There's one mixed in there in the middle, which I don't think is anything more than an Easter egg, because that is the name for Frenchie, I believe. Is that right, Sarah? Frenchie, his friend from the comic books, I believe, is the one other phone number in the phone. But anyway, who is Layla? We know she's played by the actress Mae Calame. We don't know anything else beyond the character of Layla, unless Sarah does know anything else besides...
I don't
think she's a comic book character either.
No, she's not. The only thing I can think of is maybe she is somebody that's connected to the mental hospital. Maybe Dr. Emmett. I'm not sure. Hi, Maria. I don't know. In the comics, his love interest name is Marlene. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Mark, you got any theories on Layla?
Drawing blanks on Layla. Again, I was relying on you guys to fill that in. That was just really confusing to me. And I didn't. I have nothing on this. And it's okay.
She clearly doesn't know much else about Mark other than Mark. She doesn't know Mark has dissociative identity disorder. That's going to be a mouthful for the next 6 weeks. But that's, I mean, she's clearly confused as to why Steven is acting the way he is. So Layla doesn't know the full story either, but Layla is going to play a role in this series. That much we do know.
Yeah.
I did skip one part on the car chase scene that I want to throw out there. And it is the magical middle finger from the chicken driving woman. And I think it's hilarious. And his response is just charming. And it's funny, and I love it. I also really don't like Donna, the lady that runs the museum.
I don't know what is it. They purposely give like the annoying character like that obnoxious gum chewing, which just drives me crazy. I'm like, ugh. Last time I watched it, I just fast forward her speaking.
We all identified with her too, because haven't we all had a supervisor just like her in our life at some point or another?
Yes.
We've all had that figure in our life. And I was triggered. It caused emotional damage when I saw her. I'm like, oh, I've had a supervisor like this.
But it gave me one of my favorite sounds that is going to come out of this show, when he's trying to show that he can be the tour guide and she says no, and he just responds with,
"That's actually crushing to hear." But
and I'm going to use that gif for the rest of My Life. Kara is here, which means all four of the Nerdy Girls After Dark are here. Tune in to Nerdy Girls After Dark on the Nerd Life Network this coming Thursday at 8:30 Eastern for their debut episode. So
I
let's
bring on Layla real quick.
Yes, sorry, please, I was gonna get back to you.
My computer was a little wonky, but it was interesting when she said she hasn't heard from Mark for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, kind of going back to the idea, like, has he always had multiple personalities? I'm wondering if he always had multiple personalities, and then with Khonshu kind of taking or adapting with Mark Spector, that maybe like Steven had it, I don't know, he's finally able to like have a long period where he was the main person for a while. I don't know. I'm really curious to know, like, mm-hmm. before this episode, what did his life look like before Moon Knight?
Yeah.
Because did Moon Knight birth a new personality? And I don't know if there's any comic basis behind that, Sarah, but I'm wondering, before Khonshu took over him, did he already have multiple personalities?
So I'm willing to speculate a little bit that we're going to be doing a lot of mental health study within this show. The way I see it is Mark Spector has developed this extra personality as a way to escape the person that he is, because he just can't quite cope with what he's been doing. Like Sarah said, he probably is going to keep the comic origin from the standpoint of he died and then was literally resurrected by Khonshu to be able to carry out the rest of these missions on behalf of Khonshu. I think Mark can come and go basically as he pleases, but I think he reverts. I don't know why he would revert to Steven in the middle of the fight in the Alps.
Yeah.
But I can see Steven Grant having been a personality developed to be able to give Mark a break. That's how I'm seeing it now. And I think Mark Spector, I think the body was born as Mark Spector, and that Steven Grant was a developed personality from there. That's my best guess. And I mean, I could very well be extremely, extremely wrong, but that's how I'm seeing it currently personally. Does anybody else have any theories there?
I think that's Alex mentioned it in the comments, but he's got Jake Lockley and Steven Grant are two of his personalities that
Lockley, I think,
yeah, Steven has been around since childhood. Jake came along later, I think, but Khonshu is, for me, I feel like Khonshu is the other consciousness that was brought on by that traumatic event. So I think it's exacerbated by that, I think. So I think you're right. I think it's both and, not either or.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about mental health on this show, and that's what it's doing. Steven then wakes up on the bus and finds out that Arthur Harrow is a very real person. He thought he dreamed the entire thing, and then Steven sees Arthur on that bus. Man, Ethan Hawke is just scary. Like, yeah. He's just scary. He refers to Ahmet as the boogeyman for evildoers. You wouldn't wait to weed your garden until all the roses were dead. It's, again, going back to Minority Report, is it's killing you before you can do the bad thing. And he refers to many different things throughout history that could have been prevented had Ahmet been able to have her way. And then we talked about what the scales showed when he held Steven's hands, because we don't know what they sold. But the fact that Arthur is completely blown away, that I just thought, Steven Grant, you made that up, that it was just an alias, and then I can't believe you told me the truth, basically, it was really interesting stuff. Finds out that Ahmet and Arthur have really infiltrated all levels of at least this museum, because people are fascinated with Egyptian culture. Mark, what did you make of just this entire scene around Arthur Harrow and his interaction with Steven Grant?
I'm just going to give questions out, if that's okay. And if
please do.
One of the three of you, because again, what I'm loving about this is I have absolutely no idea, but the thing that pops into my head is not an answer. What pops into my head is, does he get a sense of that there is something inside of him beyond mortality and flesh? Because then it seems like he says, let him go. And it seems like then the next time he comes back, he brings the heavy guns. It seems like he's bringing his minions. He's bringing forth something to like, he's not testing the waters anymore. He realizes that Stephen, Mark, that there's a force at work here that it seems like he's in recognition. When he says there's chaos in you, he's recognizing that there's something from another world that is at work in this entity. Do you guys think that he sniffs out that he's kind of a host for this being, or am I overthinking it?
I think his words are, "I chose you because of your weak mind," which is so sad, but I mean, it makes sense if you're Khonshu.
I completely agree with that. I was onto something and I wanted to say, and then I forgot. Maya, if you have anything there.
No, I think I'm trying to figure out the why too. And I feel like, I mean, I'm just going to have to wait and see, because I have no idea.
I feel like Maya, you're right. Like the show has not tipped its hand. I mean, it's playing poker very well right now. It showed just enough of its cards to bring us further into the narrative and into the story. But like, we just don't know. It's just, I mean, and my wife is a really good litmus test. She is so excited for the second week. She was like, "Where's the next one?" I'm like, "Oh no, it just came out." She's like, "What? I don't want to wait until next Wednesday." And from her, if it's Marvel and she feels like that, it's really good. She loved Loki. She was like, "Yeah, WandaVision's okay, but it's a little too weird. It's a little too out there, not being a real Marvel wonk." She didn't get into the other stuff. She really loved how fantastical Loki was. She really likes Tom Hiddleston. But this show, she was like, "This is a good story. Like, this story is phenomenal." And she can't wait. She cannot wait for next week. I can't wait for next week.
I feel like it's almost what it's hard to like put our finger on certain things, because it's like clearly the humans are just chess pieces. So it's like not until they go into like the god level, you know, what is Ahmed and Khonshu's relationship? Like, what is the friction between the other gods potentially? I think that's when we're going to have more of an understanding of what's going on. Because I feel like understanding, like, maybe a little bit about Mark Spector and his background, but I feel like it's just going to be,
Shout out to Alex in the comments with the comment of the night for me that Ahmet was the OG Project Insight.
Right.
Project Insight from Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which was Hydra trying to take down anybody that they wanted to for no reason whatsoever. Happy 8th anniversary to Captain America and the Winter Soldier today. Wow. We finally get the final scene. We're waiting for this transformation the entire episode. We don't know why Steven has been blacking out. We don't know what that has looked like. And then we see it where we get a really cool visual of Oscar Isaac talking to himself in the mirror. The way they work all those reflections out is you're waiting, because there we get that part in the apartment where he shakes his head, and you can see that his reflection is not being his reflection. And then there's other times where you're so fixated on his reflection and it literally is just that, until it's not, where Steven walks away. Yeah. And then you see his reflection stay put on those other two. It's really cool. We get really cool visuals, Egyptian hieroglyphics in the bathroom on the wall as Mark Spector transforms into Moon Knight and beats the living crap out of whatever that dog thing was. And it's something we've seen in the trailer many, many times. And it was still as cool as I ever could have asked it to be. I thought this was the best way they could have ended the episode. I thought it was fantastic. Sarah, how about you?
I thought it was excellent. Oscar Isaacs is I think he's one of the best actors out there working today. The scene where he orders the steak and he's just trying not to have a nervous breakdown.
The good part. He doesn't know how to order a steak.
Yeah.
next time a waiter asks you how you want your steak done, just say,
"Oh, he's a vegan."
Yeah, I know. No, I know.
It's like, how does a vegan order steak? That's how.
He's like, "Nothing makes sense. I'm vegan." I'll just
poor guy.
It. How do you want it cooked? Good. I just want it good.
Really good. Yeah.
it's interesting to know, because the gold man, like, he was talking to, he was like, "Yeah, sometimes I just wake up in different places," and that's why he was taking all those precautions. I'm just, it's kind of interesting. And so this is the first time he's recognizing that it's not just him waking up in different places, but him having a whole alter ego. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to me.
Well, and it says something about Steven's personality too, is how trusting he is and probably shouldn't be so trusting, because he's willing to tell a complete like statue stranger, like everything about his life. And it's, I think that's a little bit weird too. So who is this statue? Probably nobody, but it's just weird. Mark, what did you make of this final scene?
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I was hoping that his body and spirit didn't get consumed, because then we all know that leads to Gozer. And I mean, it would open another dimension, and hopefully Bill Murray and Rick Moranis and Dan Aykroyd are around at that point. No, but I'm here for the pure read on things. I said this to you when you asked me to come on the show. I said in earnest, I am probably the worst person to ask anything but like a reaction of what I felt with things, because I have no idea what's happening. Just again, the way that this was shot, the camera angles and the work between him and himself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Vision loving to play off of Vision. Oscar Isaac playing off of Oscar Isaac was just chef's kiss. The scene was really scary. It was really dark. Linda said like that was very intense. And then quite obviously the reveal at the end and the full on transformation and him walking to the camera for the first time as Moon Knight. What a great reveal of a brand new character. And I just again said to you, I felt like it was a movie and I was desperately wanting the next act to begin at that point. And I kind of at that point wish I had the ability to binge, because I've been waiting for Wednesday at this point. Mm-hmm.
But if we could binge, we never would have talked about this scene ever again.
Did he just throw the gun?
I think Khonshu is hilarious. F. Murray Abraham, I am here for it. Mark, please tell the world about Nerd Life Network and Babu's freaking podcast place on Nerd Life Network.
Yeah, so we're really excited to be bringing Babu's freaking podcast to the Nerd Life Network. The Babu's freaking podcast is a triumvirate, and a true triumvirate of Michael Ruby, you and me. We sit down and we relive our childhoods. We're all very close in age, and so it is quite honestly a discussion amongst three friends coming together and uniting in their love of Star Wars. It is a non-toxic podcast, so we're all fans. We're pure fans. And even the things that we feel sometimes they don't resonate as well with us, we approach them from a very cerebral and a very constructive standpoint, to really just break them down artistically and offer our opinions on stuff. But it's three guys who love Star Wars and have been connecting since childhood, reliving those dreams in a galaxy far, far away. I'm so psyched to be talking Star Wars with you guys. Obi-Wan is going to essentially be our launch on the Nerd Life Network. We'll be going live every single week when we have new content to discuss. But until then, you can catch us everywhere you download your podcast. And there's tons of audio episodes, and we discuss everything from the best lightsaber duels to the creatures to putting some of our favorite films through Star Wars court. It's a lot of fun, and we've had a blast doing it for the last few months.
Tuesday nights on Nerd Life Network, Comics and Cinema, Alex Klein. He has more than 200 episodes. Anywhere you find your podcast, you can go back and listen to Alex's thoughts on many, many things, especially Godzilla and King Kong. I would recommend. And
especially the Cheetah Girls trilogy. Sorry, I didn't mean to tempt you off.
Maya was a guest to talk about the Cheetah Girls trilogy. It just tells you that he covers everything and anything over at Comics and Cinema. Agents of Field, a nerdy sports podcast starring Ryan Lesman and often myself and friend of the program, Anthony, talking all things about the sports world and all kinds of things that are going on out there. And then the one I'm very, very excited for, the Nerdy Girls After Dark. Ladies, take it away.
You got it, Sarah.
We are going to be talking every Thursday night about all of your fandom content. We'll be answering all of the dangerous questions that maybe you've been too afraid to ask up until this point. But yeah, it's for women by women, with a nerdy bent.
Thursday night, 8:30. That will be your first chance to catch it. Guys, Moon Knight comes back in 2 days. I can't wait for it. But until then, laters, gators.
Earth's Mightiest Weirdos is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love travel understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time.